Of life. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the mercy that we have in you. Lord, we thank you that in the midst of all that's going on in the world, Lord, in this country, Father, in our own lives, Lord God, that you are in control. Father, that you are Lord of all. And Lord, this day we acknowledge you as that, Father. This day we bow our knees before you, Lord God, in accordance with that. Lord, this day, Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord, that in all things, Father, we are your creation, we are the work of your hands. And Lord, you are our God, you are our King, and you are on the throne, Lord God. And so right now, Father, this day, as we come before you, Lord God, as we would open up your word, Lord, as we would spend time before you as your people, Lord, we just leave every care and every concern at the side. Father, we just invite the free flow of your spirit in this place, Lord God. We bind every demonic spirit, every hindering spirit, every influence of the enemy, Father, and we cast it out in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray, Father God, for just, Lord, your sweet spirit of peace, Lord, to rest in our minds and in our hearts, Father God. Lord, you said you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And so, Lord, this day, we stay our minds on you. And Lord God, I just decrease. I get out of the way. And Lord, I invite, Lord, your free flow to have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, we go forward. Amen. Amen. Okay. Excuse me. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Now, it's a long section I want to go through, so what I want to do is I want to cut it into little pieces. If you want to read the whole thing, you can read it later. John chapter 5, verse 8 through 11. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk.
නොදැකිතේ නුඹේ යහන රැගෙන ඵලයන් නෙවෙයි යේසුස් වහන්සේ ඔහුට කිවිසේක. එකින් මෙම ඒ මිනිසයා සුවපත්ව තමාගේ යහන රැගෙන ගියේය. ඒ දවස සබත් දවසය. එහෙනම් යුදෙවරු අද දවස සබත් දවසය යහන රැගෙන යන්ට යුතු නැතයි සුවකරනු ලැබූ මිනිසයාට කීවෝය. නමුත් ඔහු ඔවුන් උත්තර දෙමින් මා සුවකල තැනැත්තේම මේ යහන රැගෙන ඵලයන් නැයි මට කීවේය.
Okay, now go to verse 15. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hereto and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also to that God was his Father, making himself equal with God.
මාගේ පියාණන් වහන්සේ මේ දක්වාම ක්‍රියා කරන සේක මමත් ක්‍රියා කරමින් කී සේක එබැවින් උන්වහන්සේ සබත් කඩකලා පමණක් නොව දෙවියන් වහන්සේ තමන්ගේම පියාණෝයයි කියමින් තමන් දෙවියන් වහන්සේ ආ සමාන කරගත් නිසා යුදෙවරු උන්වහන්සේ මාන්ට වඩා වඩා සෙවුවේ.
Okay, now go forward to verse 36. Which says, But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life.
තවද මායම් පියාණන් වහන්සේම මා ගැන සාක්ෂි දුන්සේක. නුඹලා කිසිතරක උන්වහන්සේගේ හඬ ඇසුවේවත් උන්වහන්සේගේ රූපාකාරය දුටුවේවත් නැත. උන්වහන්සේගේ වචනේ නුඹලා තුල පවතින්නේ නැත. මක් නිසාද උන්වහන්සේ විසින් එවන ලද තැනැත්තා නුඹලා විශ්වාස කරන්නේ නැත. දියවිලි වන සදාකාල ජීවනයේ ඇත්තේයයි නුඹලා සිතන බැවින් නුඹලා එවස් සොයන්නේය. එවා මා ගැන සාක්ෂි දෙයි. නුඹ නුඹලා මා ජීවනයේ ලබන පිණිස මා ළඟට එන්න කැමති නැත.
Okay. Interesting sequence of events. Okay, we live in a world where things go along a timeline. This is the way the world is working these days. And typically when something happens, you expect a certain reaction. Now the world has been equally crazy throughout time. So I want you to let it sink in that this world will probably remain nuts the whole time that you're here. And outside of the return of Christ Jesus to put all things right, it will stay absolutely crazy. So all of these people running around trying to fix all the world's problems, it's not going to happen. There is something that we can do, but I'll tell you that later. But for now, just know that the external environment in the world, you won't be able to fix it. But now, look at the sequence of events here. Okay, Jesus goes to a place where a man had been, if you go back in the earlier verses, he had been there 38 years. So Jesus goes and heals a man that had been there for 38 years. And now, as soon as Jesus had done that, a group of people who are in a position of authority within that community, be it religious, be it natural, come up to that man and tell him, you are not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to carry your mat, it's the Sabbath day, what you're doing is wrong, who said this? There's a group of people that show up after something happens where God is involved. So ultimately what they're saying to this man is, you are violating a tradition, a social norm, something that we have going. Who do you think you are? How can you do this? Now 99 times out of 100, this man wouldn't have even thought of doing something like what he's doing right now.
Think
But he had just had an encounter, a life-changing encounter with the Son of God that changed a reality that he had known for 38 years. And all of a sudden, everything that he had ever known, every religious doctrine, everything else was put outside the door, because if Jesus said, take up your mat and walk, if he said, go jump off the cliff, if he said, go fly, flap your wings, if he said, climb that tree, whatever he said, that man would have done. Sorry. Translation. Do the best you can. So Jesus, who's came into this world to set the captives free, in carrying out his assignment from the Father, in doing that, there are some people that show up and have a problem with the way that this is going. And in their problem, they're saying, okay, how is this norm being violated? And who gave you the right? Now, as it keeps going on in the story a little bit, when Jesus, in verse 15 through 18, from that point on, they don't just now want to know who did it, now they want to kill him. Now think how stupid this is. The author and the finisher of life, the one that gave the Sabbath, they want to kill the one that gave the Sabbath. It's about as stupid as a war for peace. Yes, we're fighting for peace. Makes a lot of sense, no? So there have been people throughout time like this, whose brains don't work quite well. Now, also keep in mind that these people whose brains don't work so well are in the positions of many, many times natural and spiritual leadership. So they sit in Moses' seat. They sit in the seats of government. They sit in the seats where they are now enforcing the standard and the law on all other people. Now, the only thing that changed this man's reality was an encounter with the Son of God. And when that had happened, at that point onwards, he was willing to go with whatever Jesus said. But now there's another group that are the controllers, the handlers, the enforcers. And now with this group, they they like their position. You know, I've noticed this in the world. Control is very addictive for the people of the world. To have control in the world is very addictive. It's like a drug. To be able to, in the world, to lord it over someone else, to tell someone else, come, go. And for people to do that in the world, people look for that. Even beggars on the street have a hierarchy. Have you ever watched? Have you ever seen how they conduct themselves even in the groups? So the world in and of itself is structured in one big pyramid. And at the very top of it is the prince of this world, the god of this world, the prince of this world, who at that place, he offers position to those that will bow their knee before him. And for anyone to desire or to want to leave, the whole thing comes to grab that person and bring them back. So this man beginning to get free, the whole thing shows up to say, okay, who do you think you are? Get back in line and let's kill whoever it was that possibly gave this man an inclination, an idea that he could do anything different. Okay, now keep in mind, this is primarily spiritual leadership within that nation at that time. And also social enforcers. Okay, now go remember verse 36 where Jesus said, go forward to verse 37, and the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. So there is a group of people in a position of spiritual leadership and natural leadership that have never, ever in the duration of their existence, even one moment by accident, heard the voice of God. Now stop and let that sink in for a second. There is a group of people that have never, ever, even once heard God's voice, and yet they sit in Moses' seat. These are not my words. These are Jesus' words. So Jesus revealing their heart, where they're coming from, their spiritual condition, shows that they have never heard the voice of God. And yet their position, as given by men, is to tell you what God said and how you're supposed to relate to God. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting that there's a group of people in a position to tell you what God said, and they never heard Him in the first place? Now people do that all the time in the world. Such and such said this, such and such said that, they never even met such and such. But when light comes, when Jesus comes and exposes the hearts, exposes where people are coming from, exposes motives, they want to put out the light, they want to kill Him. It is actually my observation at this point in my life that the vast majority of people that are in positions of government, in high positions in government, in religions, in businesses, do not know the voice of God. Many of them have in fact bowed their knee to the world and the world system, and by default the prince of this world system, for their position in the world. And some of them get to be the king of the beggars and lord it over the other beggars. Some of them move a little bit higher up in the pyramid and get to be little kings of their little fiefdom here, there, anywhere. And then others of them go up a little bit higher and go to the United Nations. But ultimately, they are a cog in the wheel of the world system. I don't know if they're a singular translation. They're a part. They're spoke in the bicycle wheel. Yeah. So they make the whole world system go round and round and round. And if you ever want to get off that thing because you're getting dizzy, they keep you in. Who do you think you are to pick up your mat? Don't you know it's Saturday? Now for that man, it was the encounter with God Himself that allowed him and empowered him and gave him the opportunity to even think of something different. Now let's jump back for a second. Jesus didn't have to tell the man, pick up your mat and walk. He didn't have to tell him to take his mat and go. There's no significance to picking up the mat, anything like that, except for the fact that Jesus knew that this would thoroughly mess with them. See, Jesus knew where they were at, so he performed the work that God gave him to do in this situation. And then in doing that, he said, okay, take up your mat and go now that your legs work. And in doing that, it revealed the insanity that these other people had been living with for 38 years themselves. See, it's much better to have a physical affliction than a spiritual handicap. And Jesus Christ reveals that these other ones, though their legs worked, they were spiritually and mentally handicapped. Go to 2 Timothy. We'll start at verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away.
Where are you?
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. 1 through 5, yeah. Okay. Does this sound like today at all? In the last days, perilous times shall come. Yes? Check? Yeah? People are lovers of self. Check. Covetous. Check. Boasters. Check. Proud. Blasphemers. Check. This, go through the whole thing. You can just tick off the whole list. Sounds like today. And at an increasing rate. More and more and more, this is coming to the surface. But now in relationship, in verse 5 it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Okay, think back now to where we just came from. Having a form of godliness, who do you think you are to carry your mat on the Sabbath? But denying the power thereof. Here's the one standing right in front of you. that gave the power to do this, that made the man and the ability to make the mat in the first place. So in fact, I'm going to flip back to John 6 and then we're going to go back and forth between these two. Jesus said in verse 39 of John chapter 5, search the scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Okay, that was verse 39. Now come back here to verse 5 in chapter 3. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Okay, brother, did you come to Wednesday night Bible study? Did you come to Friday miracle healing service? And Sunday you went to both services. And you have the prayer meeting at your house. And you have a nice little crucifix on your desk at work. Nice form of godliness. But God, that looks at the heart, speaks to a group of people at this time back when He was there and says, you've never once ever heard God's voice. Remember John 17:3, what is eternal life? Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true living God, and your Son whom you sent, Jesus Christ. That you may have a personal, real relationship with the Father that made you. That you may be fused together with the Spirit of God, where there is no separation between you and Him. That His Word may remain in you and you may live in His Word, that you may live in the vine, like John 15 says. And that His Word will flow out of you because it's already what fills you. So this is life eternal. But there are those who sit in Moses' seat. There are those who sit in positions of natural, political, religious, spiritual authority in the world as given that by other men. That have never heard the voice of God. See, the world does a lot to legitimize itself. It does a lot to tell itself it's okay. The world does a lot to tell each other that they are credible. So, alright, think about a current day example. Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe. So he just had an election where he was the only person on the ballot. And when there was one person who actually beat him the first round, he said, no, you don't win. We're going to do it again, and the next time we do it, I'm going to beat up all your opposition. I'm going to put your running mate in jail for treason, and then you're going to have to hide in the Dutch embassy just to keep from getting killed. Sorry. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. And so last night on the news, I see a statement where he's saying, no, we won that election. Now, it's such an idiotic and ludicrous example, but the world legitimizes itself. It goes through a lot of processes to tell you that the people in those positions lording over you are supposed to be credible and you're supposed to listen to them. So they have the degree on the wall. They have the degree, they have the piece of paper on the wall. The certificate from XYZ University, Divinity, whatever. But unless God has given you and put you in that position, you are out of place. Unless God has put you where you are, you're damaging other people. And there are many, because they see and think and look the same way as the world did and always does, that they are out of place. There are many that, because they are still part of the world, they're out of place, even though they try to relate to the kingdom of God. So now, with this, okay, let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Saying, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, right? What's the last part of that verse? From such, turn away. Say it with me. From such, turn away. Does it say from such, keep going week after week? From such, try to change it from within. From such, try to make pals and friends and work together on it. Okay, don't shoot me. Just going through the word here. From such, turn away. See, when we talk about the salvation experience, yes? Jesus Christ set people free from the world. Jesus Christ set people free from the system of the world. Without the power of God, without the power of Christ Jesus, you and I were still stuck in the world and the world system. See, people, many times when I've heard the gospel message preached, they just say, they focus on sin. But sin, what it does is it's the shackle that binds you to the world system. It's that handcuff chain that locks you into the world system. So you're inside the jail, you're locked in the jail, and your feet are fastened in the chains. Sin is that chain, but it's locking you into the cell, the prison of the world. So the big thing that Jesus saved you from is this world and this world system that's at enmity with God. That's why in 2 John chapter 2 verse 15 through 17 it says, love not the world or the things in the world, for if any man love the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why is the love of the Father not in him? Because he's not in the Father, he's still in the world. He is still in that kingdom that's at enmity with God. So the issue that we face time and again is those that are in those positions of natural spiritual authority that have never heard the voice of God will tell you, stay in the world and have a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. And what Scripture tells us is from such turn away. Jesus called them blind guides. Because also when you go on, when you look at Matthew 13, that hearing they never hear, seeing they do not see, they're blind, they can't see, they're blind guides. Okay, here's a question for you, and here's something for you to think about. Do you have the courage to turn away? Now let's make it practical. Let's make it real. Let's make it today, at this time, right now, where you are. Do you have the courage in Christ Jesus to follow the voice and the Spirit of God and to turn away? Or is it so important for you to belong that you will throw aside the word and the instruction of the word so that you can be part of the group? In Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, The very first thing that happened with Jesus when the Spirit of God came upon him and he was activated, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness.
Verse 1.
So Jesus, led by the Spirit, was led into Bible study. Jesus Christ, full of the Spirit, was led into small group. No, Jesus Christ was led by the Spirit of God into a place where he would be alone with the Father and would be tested and would go through some difficulties. Okay, this last Wednesday I was going through some stuff with Acts 16. Go back and read Acts 16 sometime. God leads, tells these guys, go to Macedonia, and the next time that they get there, they're getting beat up and thrown in jail. So many times God leads you into something you probably wouldn't like in your natural self. The ultimate example is Jesus Christ and the crucifixion. Where scriptures in Isaiah says that it was God's will to crush his own son. And Jesus Christ, knowing that word and being obedient to the Spirit of God, even in his own humanity at the time, struggled with it. And said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I will keep going. And this is what's so puzzling for me, because we have the word right in front of us, and yet when we begin to go through the smallest issue in life, something must be wrong with your faith, right? We are not to wish away the troubles and the trials of life. You are supposed to, in Christ Jesus, go through them. We go through the wilderness into the promised land. We go through the raging sea to the other side with Christ Jesus. We go through being sold into slavery by your own brothers to what God has for you. And in that process, do you have the courage to go with what the Spirit of God says, if that means you will be separated, you will be isolated, and you will be alone? See, now we're talking about faith. Because faith is the same word as trust. By trust, all these people in the past, when we go through the hall of faith, the whole Hebrews 11, is by trust they did that. Because, yeah, by trust they did that. So there are many in this world that will stand and sit in positions of authority and lordship over the lives of other people. But you have a responsibility for your soul. You have a responsibility for the condition of your soul. You have a responsibility for your connection and the state of your connection with your Creator. And no matter what you've been through in this life, you can blame no person for the condition of your soul. Because in John chapter 5, Jesus said in verse 40 that ye will not come to me that ye might have life. To these people that never had heard his voice. So it's available. Life is available. But it requires bowing your knee before the King of Kings, not the Prince of this world, but the King of Kings, the Lord of all. And that's the beginning of the journey, because Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6. So that's the beginning of your journey out of the world. At which point you're beginning your journey out of the world, if you have faith, it is you have trust in who He is, and you will go with what He said. So when He says, pick up your mat and walk, you pick up your mat and walk. When He says, come and follow me, you come and follow Him. And it is the power of the Spirit of God that enables you to do what you cannot do in your flesh. It's the power of the Spirit of God that lives and moves and has His being in you, and you live and move and have your being in Him. That's what enables you to walk this thing out. Because it's at the end of your life that God will say to you as an individual, not as a group, not as an organization, not as an ethnic group, anything like that, as an individual, He will approve or disapprove of your life.
අප කරුණේ හරියෝ ඔබ හරිය ඔබ වැරදි කියලා අපි කරපු දේවල් අපිට තීරණය කරන්න උන්වහන්සේ අන්තිම දවසේ කරන්න යන්නේ අපිව කණ්ඩායමේ අපි සම්බන්ධ වෙලා හිටිය කණ්ඩායමකටවත් අපි සම්බන්ධ වෙලා හිටිය ආයතනයක් හැටියටවත් එහෙම නැත්නම් වෙනත් ජාතියේ හැටියට අපි එකතු වෙලා හිටිය කණ්ඩායමක් හැටියට නෙමෙයි ඒක කරන්න යන්නේ උන්වහන්සේ තනිකරම තමයි ඒක කරන්නේ.
So light has come into the world in Christ Jesus. But the issue was that men love darkness. Because their deeds were evil. The heart is wicked. So wherever a person is this day, wherever it is, this is between you and the Father. Let the Father expose and reveal your heart and allow for Him to empower you and encourage you to follow Him, even if it be, and most of the time it will be, that you will have to go with Him into that wilderness of life.
ඉතින් අපිට මේ තනි තනියම කරන්න ඕන දෙයක් උන්වහන්සේට අපේ කොහේ ඉඳලා අපිට කරන්න පුළුවන් දෙයක් අපේ හදවත උන්වහන්සේට විවෘත කරලා හදවත එනිකරව කරන්න කියලා උන්වහන්සේට කියන්න පුළුවන්. ඒක කියලා උන්වහන්සේ තුලින් අපි උන්වහන්සේට ආව කියන්නේ අපි අර කාලු කරේට ගියා වගේ අපේ ජීවිතේ යනවා වෙන්න පුළුවන්.
But He knows what He is doing with you. See, that's the thing. God knows exactly what He's doing with you. He's mindful of His creation. He's mindful of you. He's mindful of where you're at. He's mindful of your struggle. And you go back to what Jesus said in John chapter 10. Jesus said that I came that they might have life and have it to the full. So this process is a process where actually you are truly coming into the life that God always intended that you would have and know while you're here in the earth. But you have a free will that you have to fuse with the will of God, where you pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. In earth, in me, in this vessel. So back to something I said at the very start, where I said, you know, the world will remain crazy around you. Jesus said in Luke that the kingdom is within. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 through 21, actually, for your reference for later. That the kingdom of God is within you. So allow the Spirit of God to take you within and to within to solidify who you are in Him, and then walk that life out in the direction with Him wherever it is that He would take you. Okay, so we will stop there for today.